I've told Raban to let them have their religion. It'll keep them occupied.
That's very interesting, Uncle, Fedrotha said. He turned into the private corridor to his uncle's quarters, wondering, why does he talk about religion? Is it some subtle hint to me?
Yes, isn't it? The Baron said.
They came into the Baron's apartments through the reception salon to the bedchamber. Subtle signs of a struggle greeted them here. A suspenser lamp displaced, a bed cushion on the floor. A soother reel spilled open across the bedstand.
It was a clever plan, the Baron said.
He kept his body shield tuned to maximum, stopped, facing his nephew.
But not clever enough. Tell me, Fade, why didn't you strike me down yourself? You've had opportunity enough.
Fedrotha found a suspenser chair, accomplished a mental shrug as he sat down in it without being asked.
I must be bold now, he thought. You taught me that my own hands must remain clean, he said.
Yes, the Baron said. When you face the Emperor, you must be able to say truthfully that you did not do the deed. The witch at the Emperor's elbow will hear your words and know their truth or falsehood. Yes, I warned you about that.
Why haven't you ever bought a Bene Gesserit, Uncle? Fedrotha asked. With a truthsayer at your side...
You know my tastes, the Baron snapped.
Fedrotha studied his uncle, said...
Still, one would be valuable, for I trust them not, the Baron snarled.
And stop trying to change the subject!
Fedrotha spoke mildly.
As you wish, Uncle.
I remember a time in the arena several years ago, the Baron said. It seemed there, that day, a slave had been set to kill you. Is that truly how it was?
It's been so long ago, Uncle. After all, I...
No evasions, please, the Baron said,
and the tightness of his voice exposed the rein on his anger. Fedrotha looked at his uncle, thinking,
He knows, else he wouldn't ask. It was a sham, Uncle. I arranged it to discredit your slave master.
Very clever, the Baron said. Brave, too. That slave gladiator almost took you, didn't he?
Yes.
If you had finesse and subtlety to match such courage, you'd be truly formidable.
The Baron shook his head from side to side, and as he had done many times since that terrible day on Arrakis, he found himself regretting the loss of Piter, the Mentat. There had been a man of delicate, devilish subtlety. It hadn't saved him, though. Again the Baron shook his head. Fate was sometimes inscrutable. Fedrotha glanced around the bedchamber, studying the signs of the struggle, wondering how his uncle had overcome the slave they'd prepared so carefully.
"How did I best him?" the Baron asked. "Ah, now, Fade, let me keep some weapons to preserve me in my old age. It's better we use this time to strike a bargain."
Fedrotha stared at him.
A bargain? He means to keep me as his heir for certain, then. Else why bargain? One bargains with equals or near equals.
What bargain, Uncle? And Fedrotha felt proud that his voice remained calm and reasonable, betraying none of the elation that filled him. The Baron, too, noted the control. He nodded.
You're good material, Fade. I don't waste good material. You persist, however, in refusing to learn my true value to you. You are obstinate. You do not see why I should be preserved as someone of the utmost value to you. This—'
he gestured at the evidence of the struggle in the bedchamber.
"'This was foolishness. I do not reward foolishness.'
"'Get to the point, you old fool,' Fedrotha thought.
"'You think of me as an old fool,' the Baron said. "'I must dissuade you of that.'
"'You speak of a bargain.'
"'Ah, the impatience of youth,' the Baron said. "'Well, this is the substance of it, then. "'You will cease these foolish attempts on my life, "'and I, when you are ready for it, will step aside in your favor. "'I will retire to an advisory position, leaving you in the seat of power.'
"'Retire, Uncle?'
"'You still think me the fool,' the Baron said. "'And this but confirms it, eh? "'You think I'm begging you. "'Step cautiously, Fade.' This old fool saw through the shielded needle you'd planted in that slave boy's thigh. Right where I'd put my hand on it, eh? The smallest pressure and, snick, a poison needle in the old fool's palm. Ah, Fade.
The Baron shook his head, thinking,
It would have worked, too, if Howitt hadn't warned me. Well, let the lad believe I saw the plot on my own. In a way, I did. I was the one who saved Howitt from the wreckage of Arrakis. And this lad needs greater respect for my prowess.
Fedrotha remained silent, struggling with himself.
Is he being truthful? Does he really mean to retire? Why not? I'm sure to succeed him one day if I move carefully. He can't live forever. Perhaps it was foolish to try hurrying the process.
You speak of a bargain, Fedrotha said. What pledge do we give to bind it?
How can we trust each other, eh? The Baron asked. Well, Fade, as for you, I'm setting Thufir Hawat to watch over you. I trust Hawat's Mentat capabilities in this. Do you understand me? And as for me, you'll have to take me on faith. But I can't live forever, can I, Fade? And perhaps you should begin to suspect now that there are things I know which you should know.
I give you my pledge, and what do you give me? Fedrotha asked.
I let you go on living, the Baron said.
Again Fedrotha studied his uncle.
He sets Hawat over me. What would he say if I told him Hawat planned the trick with the gladiator that cost him his slave master? He'd likely say I was lying in the attempt to discredit Hawat. No, the good Thufir is a Mentat, and has anticipated this moment.
Well, what do you say? The Baron asked.
What can I say? I accept, of course.
And Fedrotha thought, Hawat, he plays both ends against the middle. Is that it? Has he moved to my uncle's camp because I didn't counsel with him over the slave boy attempt?
You haven't said anything about my setting Hawat to watch you, the Baron said.
Fedrotha betrayed anger by a flaring of nostrils. The name of Hawat had been a danger signal in the Harkonnen family for so many years, and now it had a new meaning, still dangerous.
Hawat's a dangerous toy, Fedrotha said.
Toy? Don't be stupid. I know what I have in Hawat, and how to control it. Hawat has deep emotions, Fade. The man without emotions is the one to fear. But deep emotions? Ah, now, those can be bent to your needs.
Uncle, I don't understand you.
Yes, that's plain enough.
Only a flicker of eyelids betrayed the passage of resentment through Fedrotha.
And you do not understand Hawat, the Baron said.
Nor do you, Fedrotha thought.
Who does Hawat blame for his present circumstances? The Baron asked. Me? Certainly. But he was an Atreides tool and bested me for years, until the Imperium took a hand. That's how he sees it. His hate for me is a casual thing now. He believes he can best me any time. Believing this, he is bested, for I direct his attention where I want it, against the Imperium.
Tensions of a new understanding drew tight lines across Fedrotha's forehead, thinned his mouth.
Against the Emperor?
Let my dear nephew try the taste of that, the Baron thought. Let him say to himself, the Emperor Fedrotha Harkonnen. Let him ask himself how much that's worth. Surely it must be worth the life of one old uncle who could make that dream come to pass.
Slowly, Fedrotha wet his lips with his tongue. Could it be true what the old fool was saying? There was more here than there seemed to be.
And what has Hawat to do with this? Fedrotha asked.
He thinks he uses us to wreak his revenge upon the Emperor.
And when that's accomplished?
He does not think beyond his revenge. Hawat's a man who must serve others, and doesn't even know this about himself.
I've learned much from Hawat, Fedrotha agreed, and felt the truth of the words as he spoke them. But the more I learn, the more I feel we should dispose of him, and soon.
You don't like the idea of his watching you?
Hawat watches everybody.
And he may put you on a throne. Hawat is subtle. He is dangerous, devious. But I'll not yet withhold the antidote from him. A sword is dangerous too, Fade. We have the scabbard for this one, though. The poison's in him. When we withdraw the antidote, death will sheath him.
In a way, it's like the arena, Fedrotha said. Feints within feints within feints. You watch to see which way the gladiator leans, which way he looks, how he holds his knife.
He nodded to himself, seeing that these words pleased his uncle, but thinking,
yes, like the arena, and the cutting edge is the mind.
Now you see how you need me, the Baron said. I'm yet of use, Fade.
A sword to be wielded until he's too blunt for use, Fedrotha thought. Yes, uncle, he said.
And now, the Baron said, we will go down to the slave quarters, we two. And I will watch while you, with your own hands, kill all the women in the pleasure wing.
Uncle!
There will be other women, Fade. But I have said that you do not make a mistake casually with me.
Fedrotha's face darkened.
Uncle, you...
You will accept your punishment and learn something from it, the Baron said.
Fedrotha met the gloating stare in his uncle's eyes.
and I must remember this night, he thought. And remembering it, I must remember other nights.
You will not refuse, the Baron said.
What could you do if I refused, old man? Fadrotha asked himself. But he knew there might be some other punishment, perhaps a more subtle one, a more brutal lever to bend him.
I know you, Fade, the Baron said. You will not refuse.
All right, Fadrotha thought. I need you now. I see that. The bargain's made. But I'll not always need you. And some day...
Deep in the human unconscious is a pervasive need for a logical universe that makes sense. But the real universe is always one step beyond logic. From The Sayings of Muad'Dib by the Princess Irulan.
I've sat across from many rulers of great houses, but never seen a more gross and dangerous pig than this one,
Thufir Hawat told himself.
You may speak plainly with me, Hawat, the Baron rumbled.
He leaned back in his suspensor chair, the eyes in their folds of fat boring into Hawat. The old Mentat looked down at the table between him and the Baron Vladimir Harkonnen, noting the opulence of its grain. Even this was a factor to consider in assessing the Baron, as were the red walls of this private conference room and the faint sweet herb scent that hung on the air, masking a deeper musk.
You didn't have me send that warning to Rabban as an idle whim, the Baron said.
Howitt's leathery old face remained impassive, betraying none of the loathing he felt.
I suspect many things, my lord, he said.
Yes. Well, I wish to know how Arrakis figures in your suspicions about Seleucus Secundus. It is not enough that you say to me the Emperor is in a ferment about some association between Arrakis and his mysterious prison planet. Now, I rushed the warning out to Rabban only because the courier had to leave on that highliner. You said there could be no delay. Well and good. But now I will have an explanation.
He babbles too much, Howitt thought. He's not like Leto, who could tell me a thing with the lift of an eyebrow or the wave of a hand, nor like the old Duke, who could express an entire sentence in the way he accented a single word. This is a clod. Destroying him will be a service to mankind.
You will not leave here until I've had a full and complete explanation, the Baron said.
You speak too casually of Seleucus Secundus, Howitt said.
It's a penal colony, the Baron said. The worst riffraff in the galaxy are sent to Seleucus Secundus. What else do we need to know?
That conditions on the prison planet are more oppressive than anywhere else, Howitt said. You hear that the mortality rate among new prisoners is higher than 60%. You hear that the Emperor practices every form of oppression there. You hear all this and do not ask questions?
The Emperor doesn't permit the great houses to inspect his prison, the Baron growled. But he hasn't seen into my dungeons either.
And curiosity about Seleucus Secundus is,
Howitt put a bony finger to his lips.
Discouraged.
So he's not proud of some of the things he must do there.
Howitt allowed the faintest of smiles to touch his dark lips. His eyes glinted in the glow-tube light as he stared at the Baron.
And you've never wondered where the Emperor gets his Sardaukar?
The Baron pursed his fat lips. This gave his features the look of a pouting baby, and his voice carried a tone of petulance as he said,
Why, he recruits... That is to say, there are the levies, and he enlists from...
Fah! Howitt snapped. The stories you hear about the exploits of the Sardaukar, they're not rumors, are they? Those are first-hand accounts from the limited number of survivors who fought against the Sardaukar, eh?
The Sardaukar are excellent fighting men, no doubt of it, the Baron said. But I think my own legions...
A pack of holiday excursionists by comparison, Howitt snarled. You think I don't know why the Emperor turned against House Atreides?
This is not a realm open to your speculation, the Baron warned.
Is it possible that even he doesn't know what motivated the Emperor in this?
Howitt asked himself.
Any area is open to my speculation if it does what you've hired me to do, Howitt said. I am a Mentat. You do not withhold information or computation lines from a Mentat.
For a long minute, the Baron stared at him, then...
Say what you must say, Mentat.
The Padishah Emperor turned against House Atreides because the Duke's War Masters Gurney Halleck and Duncan Idaho had trained a fighting force, a small fighting force, to within a hair as good as the Sardaukar. Some of them were even better. and the Duke was in a position to enlarge his force, to make it every bit as strong as the Emperor's.
The Baron weighed this disclosure, then,
"What has Arrakis to do with this?"